in the background or in the foreground, you are hearing music played on the mandolin and the piccolo banjo. And I would like to welcome, well, let's listen for a moment. Excellent. I would like now to welcome Mark Gardner. He's a historian, he's an author, he's a musician. His latest book, which he was on here this on the show a while back talking about, was To Hell on a Fast Horse, a Billy the Kid book. And Rex Rideout joins us. He's a musician specializing in music of the American West. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Good morning.
In person.
In person. In real life, in real time. So the two of you will be performing tonight from 6 to 7 in a free event at the New Mexico History Museum. It's Music of the New Mexico Frontier, from the Santa Fe Trail to Statehood. It's in celebration of New Mexico's centennial. What were New Mexicans listening to? I mean, I guess you guys don't so much do the Spanish music.
No.
But
music? Yeah, music of the frontier. You know, what's so fascinating about New Mexico history in the 19th century is just this amazing array of different cultures that gathered here. I mean, especially with the Santa Fe Trail. I mean, we had, you know, French Canadians, of course, U.S. citizens traveling the trail from the east to the west, and they brought their music with them. So we're going to be doing a lot of the songs that these Santa Fe Trail travelers we know perform from their diaries and journals here in New Mexico, as well as, you know, once New Mexico becomes part of the United States, you know, they have stores that sell sheet music that's published in Philadelphia or New York or St. Louis. So you could find really all kinds of music here in addition to the native New Mexican folk music.
That piece that we just played is the Spanish Fandango, which may have come from Madrid originally.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what I was going to ask you is, I mean, cowboy music, as I understand it, has a lot of roots in the British Isles.
Oh, yes. Yes, the so there's so many of the old cowboy songs. The Whoopi-Tai-Yo is the, that's the old man rocking the cradle from the 1600s.
Is that right? So that's an English song?
Yes. And so instead of, you know, get along little dogies, orphan calves, it's a man rocking the cradle of an orphan baby left by his mother.
Right. So what were they singing about? I mean, obviously, some of the tunes are the same, but probably the not only the lyrics, but the instruments were different. What instruments were people playing on the frontier in the West?
Well, that's one of the easier questions to answer, because fortunately, with diaries and journals that have been left behind, we know, you know, the instruments that are mentioned. One of the most popular instruments on the frontier, both the Spanish frontier as well as the Anglo-American frontier, was the violin. And that is popular in all different cultures. But, you know, we also learn things even from newspaper ads. Like, there's newspaper ads from the 1860s in Santa Fe that mentions banjo strings for sale. Well, if they're selling banjo strings, there must have been, you know, banjos
right
here as well. So, you know, really, any instrument that's being manufactured or made in North America, you're going to find here in New Mexico. And, of course, you have the Spanish influence. We know the guitar, the Spanish guitar, the violin. There are lots of violinistas here in New Mexico, and
right,
of course still today. But we also know that the African-American influence with the banjo, which was very strong in the United States, also ends up coming here. And so you have this mixture or melding, you know, of musical styles because of the U.S. military with forts like Fort Union, Fort Berwyn. This brings individuals from all over the world really here, and they have, you know, maybe they're Irish natives that are joined the military, and they have their Irish ballads that they bring with them. So you know, really, again, it's kind of this mixing or mixing pot of cultures and musical styles, and it makes for a very interesting place to live in, you know, in the 19th century in New Mexico.
Now, you're playing something called a piccolo banjo.
Yes.
Which is exactly what it sounds like, a little,
yes,
a bitty banjo whose circular what's it called? Is it called
the
a
pot.
Drum?
This is called the pot, or the head. Yeah.
The head is probably about 9 inches across.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the piccolo, it has a fascinating history. I'll make a short version. It was actually developed to compete with the mandolin in the 1880s. The mandolin was hugely popular in the United States in the 1880s. Banjo makers wanted something to kind of tap into that craze. So they developed this. It's tuned an octave higher than a regular banjo, and it was originally called a banjo mandolin or a mandolin banjo. The reason we have
a
this
a banjolin?
Yeah, something like that. It was also very popular in the banjo orchestras of the late 19th century. They had piccolo banjos, regular banjos, cello banjos.
Good heavens!
You know, like 30 banjos. There's all kinds of. You can make lots of jokes about that.
That's
too.
Frightening.
Yeah, but the reason we have this though, it ties into New Mexico because one person we've done a lot of work with is cowboy ballad collector Jack Thorpe, and he was collecting cowboy songs in New Mexico in the 1889 and later, and he carried with him on his journeys a piccolo banjo because all he had was a pack horse and a saddle.
Right.
So, very convenient to take along on your journey.
Now, were cowboys out who were rustling cattle or whatever they were doing, did they bring their instruments with them and at the end of the day they would just play for themselves and each other?
It was Andy Adams that said that oftentimes in the cow camp you would find a fiddle, maybe a banjo. So there wouldn't be a great abundance of instruments, but they might keep something in the chuck wagon so the guys could sit around the fire if they had some time and play some songs.
So that was basically the entertainment at the end of a long day. Mm-hmm. But also probably in any kinds of towns, social music for dancing.
Mm, sure.
What kind of dancing were they doing, do we know?
Yeah, we do, actually. From the early, we're so fortunate because of the Santa Fe Trail bringing so many people to New Mexico, this was such a kind of an important event in people's lives that they kept diaries and journals. And so a lot of our early accounts of life in New Mexico in the 19th century talk about the different dances of the Spanish fandangos. And one of my favorite accounts said that the people would take turns. They would dance an American dance and they would dance a Spanish dance. But they were doing the same kinds of dances, waltzes, polkas, the Virginia reel, round dances. So we know a lot about the types of dances that were being performed here.
Let's talk about before we talk about anything else, let's play a song.
Okay. We thought we'd do, since we were talking about cowboy songs, we do a lot of cowboy stuff. We'll be doing some tonight. So we do one that Jack Thorpe collected in New Mexico, an old song called Windy Bill. And Rex is going to do the vocals on this. Rex is on mandolin, and I'm doing piccolo.
Okay.
Windy Bill was a Texas man. He could rope your bet. Tall steer, couldn't ride out of the sword, been born yet. Boys knew of no black steer, sort of an old outlaw. Ran down in the bottoms, just at the foot of the draw. The slim black steer had stood his ground with punches from everywhere. Boys but Bill, 2-1, he couldn't quite get there. Bill put on his old cow horses, was a back for sore. Prepared to have this old black steer that ran down in the draw. With a grazed bit and a sausage tree, and shafts and taps the boot. Old McGee tied hard and fast, ran out to tackle the brute. Bill sort of sauntered around the first steer, began to paw. Poked his tail high in the air and lit down in the draw. The old car horse flew at him like he'd been eating corn. Bill ran his old McGee around all black in his horns. The old cow horse, he stopped and silver cinch and hopped like straw. But the sapsack tree and the old McGee went drifting down the draw. His hands were scratched. Thought he could always tie a steer, but he guessed he found his match. Paid up his bet like a little man without one bit of jaw. Said old Blackie was the boss of all down in the draw. The moral of my song, boys, is very plain to see. Whenever start to tackle a steer, never tie hard your McGee. Put on your dally well, just according to California law. And you'll never see rolling fires drifting down the draw.
In the cafe with Mark Gardner and Rex Rideout. Rex Rideout on mandolin and vocals on that one. Mark Gardner on piccolo, banjo, and obviously there's a lot of cowboy music of the West, but there's also music that's about other themes. What are some of the other things that people were singing and writing songs about?
Well, certainly there's a whole category of songs called nonsense songs. And these were very popular in the 1840s and 50s, especially with the popularity of the minstrel show. And so you'll have what they call nonsense verses, and it might be a song like Old Dan Tucker or Old Joe Clark, and they're just silly things, that'll be in there just because they rhyme.
Just tell us some lyrics.
Give us an Old Joe Clark lyric, Rex.
Old Joe Clark had a house 15 stories high. Every story in that house was packed with chicken pie.
Okay. Things like that.
Yeah.
And these were things, this was the entertainment.
Sure.
No movies to go to.
This was all you had.
Yeah. Well, a lot of what we talk about is really the birth of American popular music, where it's the first time before radio or any media where people know the same song in different cities. In the 1840s, people knew Old Dan Tucker. It was a hugely popular song. They knew Oh Susanna. Stephen Foster was one of our first great pop songwriters. And the fact that their legacy, the fact that we still recognize Oh Susanna, after it was written in 1848, almost anybody can hum that tune. How many Britney Spears tunes are you going to hum in 150 years?
I can't even hum any now.
Right, exactly.
Very interesting. So in the absence of recorded music and broadcasting, how did they spread?
Well, through sheet music and also through live performances. Historically, people went out to see shows, whether they were minstrel shows or Jenny Lind, who traveled the country for P.T. Barnum. These were hugely popular events that people went to. And also through musicians getting together, almost every home had a violin or guitar, a parlor instruments. And so families got together in their parlors and played this music from the sheet music and shared it with one another. In New Mexico, military bands would put on concerts. In fact, we know at the gazebo on the plaza in Santa Fe, there are photographs of military bands from Fort Marcy doing public performances.
Right.
And so the music spreads that way as well.
Now, military bands have the rhythm of marching. Mm-hmm. I was reading somewhere that a lot of cowboy music has the different gaits of horses as the basis of their rhythm. Is that true?
Yes. Yes. It has the rhythm of the horse.
So a walk, a trot, how many different horse rhythms are you talking about?
It would be imagine the walk of the horse, and
right.
You're rocking in the saddle, and that would be the rhythm.
The thumpity thump-a-dum.
Yes.
And then what's the song that you just played a moment ago, would that be more of a galloping song?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's just
a
wild breakdown, yes.
Yeah. That's maybe a getting bucked off song.
So what are the first recordings that we have of this kind of music?
Well, the earliest recordings of cowboy music actually come from a folk collector that came a little bit after Jack Thorpe, and a man named John Lomax took some of the early cylinder recording machines and was recording in places like Texas and elsewhere and trying to record this music. In New Mexico, one of the very first people to record native New Mexican music was a man named Charles Lummis. And he had, and again, it's these wax cylinder, very early recorders. And what's really cool is that today online, there are websites where they've digitized those early cylinder recordings. So you can actually hear some of these early pieces from New Mexico or elsewhere. Later in the beginning, I think in the 1940s, there was a ballad collector in New Mexico named John Donald Robb. And his collection has been digitized through the University of New Mexico. And he did a lot of he collected a lot of cowboy ballads. And you can hear some of these folk songs through that collection online. The today's technology has really enhanced our ability to research and get to some of these resources that would have been very difficult in the past. So they're really at our fingertips, literally, with the computer.
And so the two of you, you are real historians and students of this kind of music. So every time an old wax cylinder recording is put online, you're listening to it, and do you start playing some of those old songs?
Oh, sure, yeah. Rex and I are always trading back and forth. Hey, I found this great version, of A Border Affair by Charles Badger Clark. And Rex says, hadn't heard that version. we're constantly finding variations, and not as much as we'd like. That's what makes the hunt so much fun. We're always looking for something that was tucked away. And, the one thing I'll tell you that we're still looking for, maybe some of your listeners could help us, but there are no known recordings of Jack Thorpe performing any of his songs. He wrote Little Joe the Wrangler. you know, he was a New Mexican, lived here for many years, but no live recordings or any recordings of his music. So if somebody's got that tucked away, we'd sure like to hear about it.
Even a recording of his speaking voice, we don't have even that. Mm.
Oh, very interesting.
And he lived until 1940, so well into the recording era.
Oh, so there really should be something.
Yes, oh yeah.
It's so, I think when you're living in a time, you forget, unless you are conscious of it, that people aren't going to know what your time was like unless you record it, write it down, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you guys each get started, and how did you come together? And you've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, we have. Well, we first came together. I of course, majored in history in college, and my first summer job was at a National Park Service site called Bent's Old Fort in Colorado, and I was also learning to play historic banjo tunes there at the fort, and Rex came to an event there, and we're talking early 1980s, and we first met at Bent's Old Fort on the Santa Fe Trail.
Okay.
It's a good place to meet.
Yeah.
And you were already playing mandolin, and you've been playing since you were a kid?
Yes. There was a fellow that taught me to blacksmith and build log cabins and play the fiddle.
Really?
And I picked it up from him, an old Scotsman named Lloyd Weddle.
And did he teach you his Scottish songs?
Yes. Yes. The popular tunes that they were playing, yes.
And what about you, Mark?
Yeah, you know, I started, actually picked up the banjo in college. I was always, you know, one of my heroes was Earl Scruggs, who just passed away this year, actually.
Yeah.
We both got to meet Earl Scruggs a couple of years ago, which was really cool. But yeah, I picked up the banjo because a guy down the hall was playing the banjo. I thought, well, gee, if he can learn the banjo, I ought to be able to do that too. And took off from there, yeah.
And have been having fun with it
yes.
ever since. And so you guys play, what kind of gigs do you get?
Well, you know, a lot of our performances are with museums and historic sites. You know, tonight we're at the History Museum. Tomorrow we're at Pecos National Historical Park doing several performances there. We're doing a live concert in Las Vegas on the plaza Saturday night. But yeah, we travel around the country mostly to museums and historic sites who have kind of the same mission. They want to educate and also entertain. You know, this is a great way to learn is through music. And kind of an entertaining window into the past, and it makes history enjoyable, you know, as opposed to a standard lecture, which can be enjoyable too sometimes. But I think a lot of people find the music angle a neat way to visit the past.
Yeah, know. Exactly.
And sometimes the best music is just sitting around the fire, and just a small group of people. But we also love playing in the auditoriums. A good gig for me was two summers ago, Paul Hutton, the historian from Albuquerque, called and said, we've got a movie crew, they want a fiddler. Are you available? And I ended up being the fiddler for the Cowboys and Aliens movie that was filmed just down here south of Santa Fe.
Nice. Oh, good. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll have to check out Rex in Cowboys and Aliens if you haven't seen it already, or remember it if you have. Now, to what extent, I was listening to some of the songs that you sent me mm-hmm. in email, and one of them I knew word for word from having gone to public school and, mm-hmm. and having had a great music program in elementary and junior high school. And I realized that through the luck of having a good music program, I actually know many, many songs of the American West and also the British Isles just from having learned them as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
To what extent are kids learning this stuff now?
You know, that's a good question because I had the same experience. I mean, in grade school, our songbooks had the Erie Canal,
yeah.
Old Dan Tucker, all yep. those things. And so, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know what types of songs that they're teaching. You know, even I know from our school district, unfortunately, you know, the funding is being cut, and often the first things to go are the art department and then the music department. And
right.
So, but I just don't know what types of songs. We do perform for lots of schools. That's another place that we go to. So I can say that, you know, we've been fortunate to perform for school children in New Mexico as well as Colorado.
Well, it's one thing to perform, but it's another thing to actually to be performed for. But it's another thing to actually have
sure.
those songs in your head because you sang them yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. I think it helps us know, the more music you know, the more you know who you are and where you mm-hmm. came from, in a sense.
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen, we've got just a minute or two left, so you want to play another couple minutes. You want to play another song?
Yeah, well, I think we'll do one of those pop songs that we've talked about, Buffalo Gals, from 1844.
Excellent.
Written by John Hodges. So we'll do a little short version.
Just a little walk. Her feet covered up the whole sidewalk, but she was fair to view. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Won't you come out tonight? Won't you come out tonight? Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Dance by the light of the moon. Be my wife, I'd be happy all my life if she'd marry me. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Won't you come out tonight? Won't you come out tonight? Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Dance by the light of the moon.
Excellent, gentlemen. Yay, the whole cafe bursts into applause. Rex Rideout is a musician specializing in music of the American West. Mark Gardner is a historian, author, and musician, and the two of them will be performing tonight, talking about the music and playing it at the New Mexico History Museum Auditorium. It's called Music of the New Mexico Frontier from the Santa Fe Trail to Statehood. It's in celebration of New Mexico's centennial, 1912 to 2012. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice seeing you again.
Excellent.
It's a pleasure to come. Thank you.
We're going to take a break, and Rob DeWalt will be with us speaking of the arts. And I'd like now to introduce Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us just about every Friday. Speaking of the arts, welcome.
Morning. How are you?
Good morning. And we have some visitors also to the Radio Cafe. Christy Hengst is here to talk about what is going on right now. You have a festival coming up, Catherine Street Festival.
It's the Catherine Street Arts Festival, which is actually a series of 4 one-week workshops. And they are in blacksmithing, capoeira, ceramics, and African drumming and dance. And it's kind of part of an experiment and hopefully maybe even a yearly event that my husband, Helmut Hillenkamp, and I are putting together as a way of getting people together to do more of the things that we love and kind of share some of those things together. And we've created a movement space on Catherine Street called The Garage, and that's where the capoeira workshop and the African drumming and dance workshop will be held, and then Helmut will be teaching the blacksmithing in his shop, and I'll be teaching the ceramics in my studio.
So you, Helmut, are a blacksmith, and what kind of blacksmithing do you do and do you teach?
I do architectural ironwork mostly for people's homes, gates, railings, light fixtures, and the likes. And then I teach out of my shop, and I've also taught in Germany and California, like abroad in Ecuador.
And what kind of blacksmithing? If somebody just wants to come and learn for fun, I mean, they're not probably going to go into the field of doing architectural blacksmithing and doors and stuff like that. Do you have an artistic, kind of an art blacksmithing also?
Yes, this is what this week will be about. It's like 1 week of exploring what you can do as a beginner with iron. And when we taught these kind of workshops at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur in the last decade, pretty much every year, it's actually really amazing what novices or people who have never touched iron. One person said, oh, I don't, never mind the difference between a grinder and a welder. I don't know the difference between plastic and metal. And then at the end of the week, there's all these amazing things that that people do with using the plasma cutters and the forge fire and the welders. And we have a pretty intense hands-on crew that will guide people through the experience. And for every 3 participants, we'll have one person kind of coaching them.
Now, Christy, you are a ceramic artist, a sculptor?
Yeah.
What are you going to be showing people how to do?
Well, my workshop is kind of more specifically focusing probably on silk screening onto clay, which is something that I've been exploring a lot. But I wanted to take the moment, if we can, actually, to talk about the Capoeira workshop,
okay.
which is one of the ones that we're most trying to kind of see if we can get some energy around, because it's something that it's been a growing dream to kind of create a little more energy here in Santa Fe around Capoeira, which is a Brazilian
right.
martial arts and dance. There's a teacher here in town named Pete Jackson
right.
who teaches it, and he's going to be part of this workshop. And there'll be also people coming from Northampton, Massachusetts, from Cape Verde
wow.
in Africa, and also from Germany, Aachen, Germany, to teach this. And it's a really amazing art form that is great, great exercise, a lot of fun, and involves music and dance and acrobatics and martial
art. Right, right, right. The picture on your flyer has somebody doing an amazing split while standing on one hand.
That's Pete. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Pete. That's our teacher, Pete. We have been taking classes with him for the past 4 years as a whole family, both Christy and I and both our kids. And he's a really amazing capoeira teacher. And
dancer.
And dancer,
or practitioner,
yes,
whatever
yes,
it's called.
Uh-huh. And there are also a few other people in town who practice and teach capoeira, and we're hoping to kind of bring the energy together and move it a notch up in a way, because it's really an art form that works best as a group experience. Like if you have 10 or 15,
right.
20 people in a room, or in a hoda, as they call it, the circle that it's played in, and then you do it, and it's like a really wonderful...
A group experience.
Group experience. And
yeah.
We would like to see things happening on that level here in Santa Fe. And
right, we have a tango scene, we've got
yes,
a salsa
exactly.
scene, we've got
exactly.
a massive yoga scene, and so capoeira is perhaps next.
The capoeira scene, draw people in and create something like high energy.
So it's the Catherine Street Arts Festival Summer Camp for Adults and Teenagers, 1 week workshops starting this weekend and going through the middle of August. For more information, 920-6763. Helmut Hillenkamp and Christy Hengst, thank you for being with us.
Okay,
you're
thank
welcome.
You very
thank
much.
You for having us here.
And Rob DeWalt.
Good morning.
Good morning, you redhead.
I am, well, I call it Merple.
Merple. Maroon and purple.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, that's a new
magenta
color.
Magenta and purple.
Magenta and purple,
yeah.
Even better. Nice color, ladies and gentlemen, if you're coming to the Santa Fe Baking Company. You can feast your eyes on his lovely hair. But let's talk about what's going on this weekend.
This is a really busy weekend. Really busy weekend. We've got Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival.
Yes, indeed.
Right? We've got...
You look at the schedule of Santa Fe Chamber Music, and you're like, I want to go to all of them.
Yeah, and a lot of people do.
A few people do.
A lot of people, yeah. Well,
how can you go to all of them? They're
well,
happening day and night.
Not all of them, but as many as one can humanly go to.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, there's some people go to all, but in any case, a lot of music happening, and one thing I love about it, it's music of all prices, music in all different venues, music at all different times of day.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. It's all over town. And there's what? Okay, so we've got the Chamber Music Festival, we've got the Jazz Festival, we've got Santa Fe Desert Chorale.
Oh my goodness.
We've got Santa Fe Opera, which yep. is, let's see, we've got Tosca tonight, and then we've got King Roger, right, on Saturday.
I haven't seen any of them yet, but I will.
I'm going on the 10th of August.
Okay.
With my mudda.
Yay.
King Roger opens on Saturday, right, and there's a huge King Roger package in today's Paso Tiempo. That starts, I believe, on page 50, and it is, this is one that I want to see. I've heard it was a very difficult one to master musically.
Which one, King Roger?
Yes.
Well, it's sung in Polish.
Yes. So I can imagine that that's probably a lot more difficult than singing, say, in Italian for your traditional opera singer.
Yep.
So...
On a completely non-musical note.
Uh-oh.
The KSFR third annual Book and Media Fair starts today, and it's from 1 to 6 today. There's a fairly small entry fee, and Santa Fe Community College students are free with ID. And then tomorrow from 9 to noon, it's free, and then 1 to 3, then they're closing for lunch, and then from 1 to 3, they have a book-only bag sale.
What's that?
I don't know.
You get a bag of books for a certain price or something?
I guess so.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, you get a, that's right. You get a bag of books for a certain price. And so that's in the Santa Fe Community College Hemez Rooms, and it's something that KSFR does every year. So, and I'll tell you what, there's some amazing books down there. If you're into books, you will find stuff that you haven't, you know, that you've never seen before.
I'm not allowed to bring any more books home. You and I both get a lot of books, I think.
I think we get a lot of books. I don't need any more books.
Right. But it's going to be an incredible sale. It always is.
It always is.
There's always tons of stuff, and there's something for everybody.
Yep.
This is also a huge week for children's theater. We've got The Jungle Book.
Yes.
At, let's see, that's at the Armory for the Arts tonight, and that's through July 29th. We've got the Little Mermaid over at James A. Little Theater. That's tonight at 7 p.m., and that's through the 29th. We have Little Shop of Horrors.
Yep.
Right? This is like Santa Fe Performing Arts is doing the Jungle Book and the Little Shop of Horrors.
Yep. One, the Jungle Book is a play, and Little Shop of Horrors is the musical. And we had some of the very sweet young people, good actors, excellent young people at the beginning of their performing careers were on the air. I think it was yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Were they in costume?
No. And they didn't even sing for us.
They must have been bleary-eyed. They must have been tired.
Well, you know,
kids waking up that early in the summertime?
Grueling rehearsal schedule.
Oh, yes, of course. Speaking of grueling rehearsal schedule, I've been over at Warehouse 21 a lot and have caught some of Robert Knott's rehearsals, and they're ready to go tonight.
Slapstick.
They had a preview last night, I believe. But things really get started tonight. The Persecution and Assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand as performed by the players of Cosmo Martin's Theater Troupe.
Yes.
Is the name of the...
Is the concise name of the play.
The concise name of the play. It sounds very Fiesta Melodrama-ish. It's that long.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I wonder if there's some connection
I wonder, too.
Anyway, it's written and directed by the Santa Fe New Mexicans' own Robert Knott and Matt
Sanford,
who make a great dynamic duo.
I think they should be separated.
You think so?
No, that's what I told them.
They need to go to the separate corners of their room and have a timeout. Well, anyway,
they egg each other on.
I know.
In bad puns and things like that. But if you like bad puns and slapstick, it's great.
I know. It's good for theater. And it opens at 7:30 p.m. tonight at Warehouse 21 over there in the rail yard. There's discounts available. This is Thursdays through Sundays through July 29th. So there are quite a few performances up.
And there are upcoming shows of Welcome to Bohemia. This weekend, they will be at the Starlight Lounge, Saturday, July 21st. First with international favorites, inspired original tunes, dance tunes, and that's at Rainbow Vision. And there's a very, very low cover charge. And they're playing next week as well at the Cowgirl, but we'll tell you that next week.
Next week.
Welcome to Bohemia.
Have we talked about kitties yet? You haven't even talked about kitties yet. I'm so shocked.
Where's my kitty?
Well, you're talking about kitties. I'm going to talk about puppies and kitties.
What?
I'm going to talk about both.
All right.
Christmas in July sale. There's a pet adoption today from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Zoe and Guido's Pet Boutique over there at 607 A Cerrillos Road. You can call 988-2500 if you have no idea how to get there. But they're having a puppy and kitty adoption today.
That's a beautiful thing.
So you can get over there and bring it home and say, I'll wash it and I'll feed it and I'll love it and hug it and squeeze it. And
take it for a walk and throw the ball.
And not leave it in a car with the windows rolled up.
That's right. Or even in a car with the windows rolled down.
Yes.
Just don't leave it in the car on these hot days. And if you want to hear what's going on with Felines and Friends, they tell us that it's monsoon season and the perfect time to cuddle with a new kitty companion on a rainy afternoon. So this week's featured cat is Barrel.
Barrel.
Barrel. He's outgoing and social. He has a great personality. He's a large, gorgeous Himalayan mix with slightly crossed blue eyes. He would not do so well in a home with small children or other male cats, but he would do well as a, I guess, as an only cat.
A standalone kitty.
A standalone kitty or a kitty with a girlfriend.
Sounds like a prima donna to me.
Well, I think it sounds cute, but I think most animals are cute. Unless most they're attacking you.
And most cats are prima donnas, so.
If you want to adopt Beryl, please call Felines and Friends at 505-316-2281 or email askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com. You can also Google the Felines and Friends New Mexico website.
Sweet.
Yep.
There's some art openings to talk about also.
Excellent.
Center for Contemporary Arts, Munoz Waxman Gallery's got In the Pursuit of Happiness, work by Regina Foster. There's a symposium tonight from 6:30 to 7:30 and a reception from 7:30 to 9. And that's up through September 9th. We've got Victoria Price Art and Design over there on Pacheco Street. It has a great show called Slow Motion Surrender. It's mixed media works by Max Olivas, and there's a reception from 5 to 7 today. That's through August 15th. I wrote a story about it in today's Pasatiempo. It's on page 38. Give it a read. What else have we got? We've got Eggman and Walrus Emporium right downtown. Brace for Impact, mixed media work by MJ Husband, BJ Quintana, Bunny Tobias. There's a reception from 5:30 to 9 p.m. today, and that's up through August 11th.
Yay,
there's
it sounds
tons
great.
More. There's tons more.
So walk around and you will find them.
Yes.
And
pick up Pasatiempo.
Or pick up Pasatiempo, even better. Transforming the Nuclear Narrative, a global call to action, sponsored by Journey Santa Fe at Collected Works. On Sunday at 11 a.m. at Collected Works Bookstore, there's a conversation with Michelle Victoria from Nuke Free Now, Jay Coughlin of Nuclear Watch New Mexico, and Joni Ahrens of Concerned Citizens for Nuclear Safety. So they're going to talk about this in advance of the August 4th through 6th events, which commemorate the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And so that is on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at Collected Works Bookstore, where there's always lots of stuff going on, and we're going to let you know more about the other stuff, too.
Hey, do you know anything about this Black Berets this Black Berets event that's happening?
No.
Okay. So the Black Berets was a group that was formed in Albuquerque in the late 60s, and it was sort of like the Brown Berets. It was a Chicano activist group.
Right.
And a lot of people remember them simply because of some riots that took place in Roosevelt Park in Albuquerque back in, I think, 72 or so. Anyway, some of the original Black Berets are getting together for what they call a charla, which is like a kind of a discussion group.
Yeah.
And they're going to be getting together, and they're also going to be screening some footage from this film in progress about the Black Berets. And that's from 6 to 8 p.m. Tomorrow, Saturday the 21st, at El Museo Cultural over there in the rail yard. And this is going to be really, really interesting. I watched a lot of the footage, the stuff that I could find online. And some of the stuff that these folks did was you know, giving out free breakfast to school children before the school district was giving out free breakfast to school children. So... if you're into that sort of, you know, activist lean, this is an interesting sort of local take on it.
Yeah, very important stuff, and definitely worth seeing.
Well, these guys there's a lot of these folks are getting together now, the old guard, and a lot of the new Chicano activists are getting together now. And I
think they emailed me, and if I neglected to write back, please forgive me. I get more emails sometimes than I can handle.
Yeah. Trust me,
Do you know? Do you know what that's like, Rob DeWalt?
Yes, I do.
We try. We do our best.
Yes, I do.
But, okay, what else? Today at Collected Works at 5 o'clock, reception for Taos Pueblo photographer Bruce Gomez. And he's doing a show which has a collection of images from Taos Pueblo and Taos area landscapes and also images of southern France and Paris. Then tomorrow from 9 in the morning until noon at the Santa Fe Farmers Market, Collected Works Books at the Market series continues with The Prince of Peppers and Sultan of Spicy Food, Dave DeWitt, author of The Southwest Table, Traditional Cuisine from Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. And then on Sunday, we talked about Transforming the Nuclear Narrative. Also on Sunday from 3 to 5, the singer-songwriter Lorianne Fiorentino will be there with guest writer Cindy Bellinger and musician Matthew Blank. And then on Sunday at 6 o'clock, Collected Works will stay open late to welcome author Joy Harjo, who will be reading from and signing copies of her new memoir, Crazy Brave. And Monday at 6 o'clock, Monday the 23rd at 6 o'clock, it's Rep Night at Collected Works. And you can meet four of their publisher's representatives who will share their favorite picks from the upcoming publishing season, Random House, Macmillan, Norton, and Publishers Group West. On Tuesday at 6 o'clock, author Mark Sundin will read from and sign copies of his new book, The Man Who Quit Money, which is about a man named Daniel Suelo who basically left his entire life savings, which was $30, in a telephone booth, and he's lived without money since then. Completely
wow.
Without money. And without food stamps, without welfare, and he doesn't even do barter. I don't know how he lived, but we'll find out. I'm actually going to have the author of the book on the show on Tuesday. And then finally on Thursday, Collected Works at 6 o'clock, the shared reading series continues with readings and signings of three authors, Reese Taylor, Nathan Brown, and Donald Levering. So lots of good stuff at Collected Works Bookstore, which is on Galisteo Street on the corner of Water, and not only great events and great books, but also coffee, tea, and lots of good things to eat.
Yes, little nibbles.
Little nibbles.
On the 26th, author Trent Zelazny is going to read from Butterfly Potion, his new novella, which is actually pretty awesome.
Really?
Yeah, it's very good.
Excellent.
Actually, I have it in my bag if you want to look at it.
Yeah, let me read it right now.
Right in the middle of the show. Just
yeah,
drop everything.
I'll just read it.
But that's at 6 p.m. at Opposite Books, which is over there on Baca Street, sort of, you know, in that little parking, that little area.
One of my new favorite places now.
At Opposite?
Yes.
Yeah, I go in there without my wallet.
Go in there, ladies and gentlemen, with your wallet. Why not?
Yeah. Well, every once in a while I will, but generally I try and go in there.
It's a terrific place, and it's right next to Counterculture, too. So
yeah,
you can go get books and sit outside and read them.
It's called Caldera Gallery is right over there.
Yep. They're way awesome.
They're way awesome. Totally rad and gnarly.
What, is it now passé to say awesome?
Awesome? No, it's falling out of favor.
Is it? What is it being replaced by? Oh, Master of Hipness.
I don't know. Mm. I'm not that hip anymore, I don't think.
By the way, we have a ticket giveaway right now, but you can't call until I tell you what the ticket giveaway is. So if somebody's calling right now, it doesn't count. The ticket giveaway is for tickets.
Drum roll, please.
To give me a drum roll. To Black Uhuru.
Yeah.
And let's see, where is my... The reason I'm stalling is because I can't find my little piece of paper about Black Uhuru. Hey,
I've got it.
Oh,
I've got it right here.
Okay.
Okay. So these folks formed back in the early 70s, and they're best known probably for, an album called Anthem. And they were...
Reggae.
Yeah, reggae. Hits like What Is Life, Botanical Roots, and a cover of Stephen Van Zandt's 1983 song Solidarity. And they were very popular. They've been through numerous lineup changes, but there's still, I think, one or two original members in the band. And they're playing at 7 p.m. Saturday, July 21st.
At Santa Fe Soul.
At Santa Fe Soul. I will be there with my partner and a couple of other people.
That should be a great show. I listened to them in college.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We still have... cassettes.
Right, music. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So the first caller, 428-1382, gets a ticket, or a pair of tickets.
And I'm going on a hunch that this is an outdoor show.
You know. Go on that hunch.
I'm going to go
no
on
idea.
That hunch, yeah. Just because most reggae shows need to be outdoors for
That's
reasons
right.
that we don't really get into.
Yes, excellent reasons.
Yeah. But let's see. Other performances also. We have Old Time Rhythm, Lillian Montevecchi at Kay Ballard and Leroy Reams. Bunch of singing going on. A comedian, Broadway Hoofer, and a French chanteuse share the stage at the Lenzic Performing Arts Center. Doing It for Love is the name of the show. It's an evening of song, dance, and stories backed by a full orchestra under the direction of Santa Fe's own cabaret star and musical producer, David Geist.
Nice.
Yay.
Yay.
So that is July 20th and the 21st at the Lensic. And you can call 988-1234 for tickets.
988-1234. And the tickets are, of course, gone. Of course. Thank you all callers for calling. Kumusha is playing tomorrow, Saturday, from 1 to 2:30 at the South Madrid Block Party. The shops on Firehouse Lane are hosting the annual Block Party down in Madrid, and there's special gallery sales and live music all day, including the Kumusha Women's Ensemble, face painting, clown car painting, and much more. It's from the whole thing is from 11 to 6, and as the person who sent this to me wrote, remember the 60s? It's a happening. So come and support Madrid's Food Bank. For more information, 474-0002.
Can I get stuff an announcement in here real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Girls Inc. is still looking for volunteers for the 40th annual Arts and Crafts Show in the Plaza. That's on August 3rd, 4th, and 5th. The shifts are 3 to 4 hours. Call 983-2042 to sign up. This is their big fundraiser every year. And they desperately need volunteers for the show.
Excellent.
For the big art do.
Art do.
Yeah.
And what's happening at the screen?
Oh, let me see. Let me pick up my trusty Pasatiempo.
One thing is the Screen Gallery has a show called Studies in Surface, art by Judith Toller, and its canvases painted in multiple layers, each one scratched, scraped, and scoured until the last layer and the final painting surface make themselves known. And there's also a bunch of movies.
Yeah, we've got Take This Waltz, right? Which is it's this Toronto set film. And it got a really good review in today's Pasatiempo by, I believe, Jennifer Levin. There's a review on page 68. And that's at the screen. There was something else going on at the screen that I wanted to mention. Ah, yes. Director Chris Eyre, director of Hideaway, is going to discuss the film after a screening of Hideaway at 7 p.m. Friday, July 20th.
Yes.
And
we tried very hard to get him on this week, but it did not work out.
It
so
didn't work out?
Unfortunately, but maybe when he comes back.
Well, the film screenings continue through Thursday, July 26th, so you have some time to see the film, but I believe tonight is the only time that he's going to be here.
That's right.
For a discussion after the film. You can go to thescreensf.com or call 473-6494 for more information about that event. Gosh, I'm losing my voice. Everyone is sick at the office.
Oh, that's pretty really bad. What do you guys have?
It's like a coffee. Like a cough, throaty kind of virusy, icky thing.
A cough, throaty kind of icky thing. That's not
yeah.
so good.
No. CCA has actually got Paul Williams still alive.
Yeah.
After all these years.
After all these years.
Three and a half chilies in today's Pasatiempo by Jennifer Levin. Excuse
really?
Me. Yes.
Can it be that it's already time to go?
No way.
I'm shocked, I tell you. Hey, don't forget the Tarnoff Art Center is having all kinds of workshops in July and beyond, and you can go to thetarnoffartcenter.org for more information, but they've got kids' workshops and self-portraits and welding and silver soldering and all kinds of good things, woven copper sculpture workshop, and Rob DeWalt is with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine, the Santa Fe New Mexican. He's with us many, many Fridays speaking of the arts. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Have a wonderful weekend.
I shall try.
Please try.
You too.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafemc. And we want to thank Marilyn LeBlanc very much for engineering today, as always. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz a la carta. Yay. So what are you doing this weekend?
This weekend, I'm still moving.
Oh, no. Moving takes a long time.
Yeah. But I'm going to Black Uhuru tomorrow night.
Excellent.
So there's that.
Well, good. Well, have a wonderful time.
What about you?
Maybe we'll see you there. I can't remember. I'm doing I know I'm doing something. Besides dog walking. But anyway, have a great weekend. Everybody, be happy, be peaceful, be safe, wear your seatbelt, and go out and listen to live performances. Adios.
Adios.